how many times have we said that, like, or thought that, like, really the main problem here is this guy just needs to lose weight and his knees would be fine or his back would be fine or whatever. His sleep problems would go away. I have an answer for that now.
Hey, y'all, what's up? This is Aaron LeBauer. Welcome to the Cash PT Lunch Hour podcast, the number one show for passionate physical therapists looking to start and grow an even more successful physical therapy practice without the headaches or conflict of interest that insurance companies bring. Before we get to the episode, real quick, if you're new to the show or haven't picked up your Cash PT checklist yet, then you're definitely missing out. This checklist lays out all the essential steps you need to start a cash-based physical therapy business. If you want me to send that to you, then go to cashptchecklist.com. That's cashptchecklist.com. Enter your first name and email and you'll get this essential checklist right away. Thanks, and now on to the show. Welcome to the Cash PT Lunch Hour. This is Aaron LeBauer, your host, and today I have a special guest. His name is Cameron Garber from Body Smart in Ogden, Utah. And Cameron is a physical therapist. He's got an out-of-network physical therapy practice. He is also specializes in metabolic testing, and it's a big cash-based service for his business. And so I've invited him on the show today to talk about this unique service and how he's charging hundreds of dollars for physical therapy and metabolic testing and other services that people really want and even that not a lot of people are offering. So welcome, Cameron. Thank you for joining us on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
So what I want to do is talk a little bit about, you know, kind of your journey, your into business, a little bit about your business, how you got some of these good ideas.
Yeah.
We'll talk about how you market it and sell it and then what's next. So why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about you and your business and who you help, who you serve?
Yeah. So I'm an out-of-network PT. Like you said, I do a little bit of Medicare work just because I don't know. The practice that I purchased was almost completely Medicare when I bought it. So about 6 months in, I decided my main headaches were personnel and insurance. And so I thought, how do I get rid of these headaches? And I had worked with you actually previously. When I was working for a different practice, I'd bought your Cash PT toolkit and some of those other things. And I was like, that really is the way I want to go. I want to stop working for insurance companies, right? I want to stop kind of that run around. And so I let go of all my employees and kind of hit the reset button on the practice about 6 months in. So that was the start of 2017. And so things definitely got slow, stopped physician marketing, a bunch of other things, and started going more with the digital marketing. Mm-hmm. And pretty interesting. But so who I serve, I work with active adults. I want to work with active adults and those who want to become active. And my goal is to remove those roadblocks to fitness and health. So whether that's weight, whether that's orthopedic injury, whether that's just getting out of their own way in terms of scheduling and mentality to be able to help them become more fit, healthy, and active.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So what, so let's back up. I mean, that's great. And I want to back up to why did you become a PT? You know, what led you down the road of going to physical therapy school and taking out a bunch of money to go to school and get some loans and then I want to get into how you got into this business and, you know, even purchasing it from someone. So how'd you become I want to be a PT.
So blew my knee out skiing and enjoyed the atmosphere. So I had to do like 6-8 weeks of rehab. Mm-hmm. Just really enjoyed the atmosphere. It was like, these guys wear golf shirts all day. My dad was like traditional businessman, advertiser, suit and tie every day. And I was like, these guys wear golf shirts every day and they get to go like hang out and talk to people all day long. This is awesome. Right. And so I did some internships through like 9th, 10th grade. And then my senior year of high school, I went and did an internship with like the lead physical therapist up at the University of Utah. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing in inpatient rehab. So, well, inpatient and outpatient, he did a little bit of both. So stroke and brain injury, spinal cord injury, that kind of thing. And it was awesome. He wrote me this letter of recommendation, which was like my meal ticket to jobs. And so like pretty much everything I did from about 14 on, I knew I wanted to be a PT. But I also knew that I kind of had this entrepreneurial mindset. So I bust my butt to get into PT school. I actually went to two different universities at the same time. So I went to Weber State as well as the University of Utah full-time at the same time. So between like 20, I think my lowest semester at one point was like 21 credits up to like 27 credits.
And so it was no life, right?
So the reason why I did it is because I had too much of a life and I needed to start making money, right? So I got married pretty young. And so I served an LDS mission. So I went and spent 2 years in Germany.
Oh, wow.
And got married like 3 or 4 months later. So I had met my wife in high school. We were best friends all through high school. Anyway, kind of a funny story. Came back, got married, and turns out birth control is only 99.9% effective. Mm-hmm. Because we got pregnant right away. So like 4 months in, we find out we're pregnant. Had that kid 4 months later, pregnant again.
Wow.
And so I was doing probably like 17 credits per semester. I was going through pretty fast. And when I found out we were pregnant with a second kid, I was like, that's it. I need to be done like tomorrow. And so that's when I did two at once. Plus I was working part-time. It was crazy. Plus I had a kid and one on the way. So I pretty much just didn't sleep for like two more years, but finished up with my bachelor's degree, which didn't fulfill the prereqs for PT school. That's why I had to go to two different schools. I was doing one for my major and one for the prereqs.
Got it.
Got that out of the way, did grad school. There was kind of this lull of like, oh, I made it. And now what? You know, I got into PT school and it's like, this is great. But like, now what? I pushed and pushed and pushed to get through. And now I just kind of, my entrepreneurial spirit kind of got put on the back burner a little bit of like, I need to provide for my family. Mm-hmm. I always knew that I wanted to do my own thing, but I just wasn't sure how to do it. And so I wound up taking a job with University of Utah. And one of my mentors, she told me, you know, I know you want to do this metabolic testing thing. And I know you want to work with a different clientele than this job that they've offered you. And she counseled me like, don't waste time not pursuing your dream.
Right.
And I so wished I had listened to that. I wish that the headaches that I've been going through over the past couple of years in figuring out my cash-based business, that I did that 8 years ago when I first graduated PT school. Mm-hmm. If I could do it over again, I would have never gone and worked for somebody else.
Wow. That's a strong statement. Yeah.
Yeah. And I had a lot of, you know, the student loan debt was feeling really fresh and new. And the, you know, I had at that time, my third kid was born on the day that I took my NPTE exam or whatever, right? The boards. I went into the hot or in to take the test at the same time my wife left for the hospital.
Holy cow.
So like third kid on the way. I don't know. It was kind of crazy. And so I guess all those things were looming kind of heavy, but looking back, like it would have been fine. I could have done it and I would have, I don't know, I may not have had the help from yourself and some of the other people back then, but I think the journey of figuring it out would have been about the same as what it is now. And right. I would be years, light years ahead financially, in terms of practice independence and things like that, being able to step away from the practice. I'd be doing that now instead of still in the daily grind of figuring things out. Mm-hmm. So like that would be something that I would admonish anybody that's listening to this. If you're just in school or just graduated, you don't need more experience. You don't need, like, you've got the skills, go for it. Now, don't waste your time building somebody else's dream. Build your own.
Yeah, amen. No, I've fielded a question like that this week. It's like, you know, a guy was saying, hey, I've been advised to, you know, go get a job and not start my business. And what do you think? And I was like, well, you know, I started right out of school. I know dozens of other people that have and people that wish they did.
Right.
And you're really the first person that's really said strongly, like, I should have done this right away that I can like recall. And other people said, oh, I could have done it. But you were like, no, I should have. And that's awesome. So do you think you, like, did you know at that time you wanted to own a business and something was keeping you from doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of the fear of like, don't know what to do, as well as I had a really good job offer to work at a place that was really cushy. So the University of Utah, amazing benefits, like I paid for everything to be covered, essentially like $100 a month for healthcare. And wow. You know, all these things, like amazing job, amazing benefits. I got hired on for like the same rate because I kind of, I don't know, finagled something to a guy that had worked there for like 5 years. He was totally ticked when he heard what I was making. And so it was an amazing opportunity. And I don't regret that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like I learned a ton and it was great. But one of the things I learned the very most is how much I don't fit in a big box facility.
Right.
Like I'm an idea guy. I always have ideas every minute, and big box facilities just aren't designed for that. Sometimes they're not very tolerant of that. Luckily, I had a really good boss and quite a bit of flexibility. I worked a 4-10 schedule, so I had one day off plus Saturdays. And so that's kind of, I was working for them. I was tasked. So I was an outpatient neurotherapist, right? I ran our stroke programs or outpatient stroke program. I went and met with the team leaders, with the physicians, the whole interdisciplinary team and everything. It was great. We were tasked to start a wellness program.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here organizing, helping to organize this wellness program and going, we're on the wrong side of wellness. Like we're helping people that have already had their stroke or already had their brain injury. When could we have not like done stuff to help them be more fit, more active, and avoid this in the first place? And so I had this skill. I did an internship where I learned how to do the metabolic testing. And I said, how can I incorporate this into our wellness program and help people prevent? So I joined this interdisciplinary team of weight loss clinicians there at the university and tried to incorporate that into what I was doing. And I kept being told no. Said, hey, I'll even buy this equipment, this metabolic testing equipment, donate it to the university and run this program. And they were like, no. Like, really? You know, crazy. Wow. And that's when I realized like ideas can't really flow here. It just doesn't work because it's too, like, you know, you got to get approval from somebody's grandma to be able to do much.
Right.
And so I started then my first cash-based practice. This was in January of 2013. That was kind of my Christmas present to myself. I went out and bought the metabolic testing equipment and started working Thursdays and Saturdays, trying to get enough tests to at least make the payments on the equipment. That kind of garnered some attention, and I got a job offer from a company called FitStop Physical Therapy, where they put clinics in really high-priced, expensive gyms. And so I left the university and kind of did that, helped to try to build up their practice there, did that for a couple of years. When my mentor and previous practice owner, Julie Knighton, said, hey, I'm retiring, moving to California to go golf every day. Would you like to buy my practice? And so I saw that as like, this is my chance to be 100% me. So I did it. Again, that's probably something that I would say to, if I had it to do over again, probably wouldn't have bought an existing practice.
Right.
As much as I loved what I got from that and there were some positives, I would have rather started my own thing my own way than kind of having to battle changing who I see and starting in one place that really wasn't where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Having to fire somebody after right. They told me they were pregnant the day before. Oh. Like that was rough.
Yeah, I was going to say, what were some of the tough things? So like you had to fire someone like was...
A couple of people, like, yeah. So yeah. You know, we kind of had the full service staff, billing, coding, secretary, rehab aid, all those things. And as I was doing the math on it, it's like, you know, I have to see so many more patients a day to be able to... I have, you know, 4 to 5 mouths to feed and only one breadwinner, essentially, right? And really, if you count my family, I had another 5 mouths at home.
Right.
And so I thought, how do I reduce my 2 main sources of headache, which is dealing with insurance companies and dealing with staffing? And there were just some issues. I had wonderful people, but they just didn't quite possess the skills, especially in the transition to cash, that I felt like I needed to be able to make that transition. And so, yeah, that was a headache. That was definitely a scary, scary moment. Had a mentor that kind of coached me through that. He's like, you've got to pull the trigger now or it's going to sink your business.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have a business to worry about if you don't pull that trigger now.
Yeah. What was the other big thing that you had to deal with? And it's buying, basically, so you bought another existing practice that was in network and Medicare provider.
Yeah. And
Did you know right away you were going to convert it to cash, or you were like, I think this is going to work, and then you got in there and were like, ah.
No, I wanted to convert it to cash right off the bat, but part of what I bought was accounts receivable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this money coming in that was just coming in for free, right? I didn't have to do the work. It was previous work that was already done. And so that was like, oh, maybe this isn't so bad, right? But what I really failed to realize is that I was just being propped up, and my income was being propped up on previous billings that were still coming in from 2 years ago, which is mind-boggling, right? Yeah, I just got paid the other day for something that the previous clinician had done 3 years ago.
Wow.
So I got paid out.
That's insane.
It doesn't even make sense to run a business that way, right?
No.
And so anyway, so yeah, those were definitely some headaches, making that transition in the minds of my clients. That was kind of hard.
How many people, like, did people transition, or did you, you know, like, did you lose a lot of people because you transitioned, or, and is there a lesson there?
The other lesson is, don't buy a practice named after somebody. That was hard, because as soon as she left, so we held a party. I was averaging between like 10 to 14 new patients every month,
mm-hmm.
For the first like 4 months. And then we held a party for the previous clinician, a retirement party. Went down to 2 new patients that month.
Wow.
As soon as we sent out that letter to say, hey, Julie's gone, things blew up, right? Because that's who they tied it to.
Mm-hmm.
And she had built up a great loyalty and everything, but there really was no value in the name. I even left the name up on the building for like about 5-6 months, hoping to still get some traction off of that. But really, as soon as we sent out that letter to her past patients, yeah, that was brutal. The other thing is, I didn't realize that she wasn't digital. All the financial documents she'd given me were all on spreadsheets and stuff. Turns out, though, they had just made that to send it to me. Everything she was doing was all analog, like all on paper. And so that was a tough transition. I work with a lot of interns. I've contacted all the local universities and stuff, so I get free labor.
Mm-hmm.
One of my interns, that's the whole thing he did, was just digitize everything. I felt so bad for the kid.
Yeah.
He just sat there and entered in patient after patient after patient. But
it sounds like my internship when I was thinking I was going to med school. I just sat there and entered. I was just entering numbers, and one of the physicians walked by and was like, what are you doing? I was listening to my Walkman. I was like, I'm entering numbers. And they were like, the next day they're like, we don't think you're paying attention. I'm like, you've got me doing.
Right. Like grunt work. Like, yeah.
The next guy walked by. He's like, what are you listening to? I was like, you too. He's like, oh, awesome, man. You know?
Right. It's like, I'm here for an experience and you're giving me something totally different, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I felt kind of bad about that, but that was kind of his experience that he was looking for. Yeah. So I get from a technical college as well as from like BYU, Weber State, and University of Utah.
Uh-huh.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I get it. So when did the turnaround happen? Like, so you changed the name and you kind of, I guess you rebranded. Like, what was the... Right. Turnaround time, what did you do to change like the marketing strategy and get back to getting people in who were like, whatever, I'll pay whatever it takes to come see you?
Right. So, you know, on the metabolic testing side of things, I was already doing pretty well there at getting people to convert to that. They knew that it was a non-covered service, or I don't know, some people have gotten it covered. So that's muddying the waters a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not too bad. I still charge cash and it's great. And there's no real competitors in my area. But it took a while, and I still have to fight that battle a little bit where I'm convincing people, which I'm still working on my ability to not have to convince people that they're already sold through my sales process on why this is going to be better for them. But that's still a little bit of an ongoing challenge for sure. You know, the thing, I know everybody says their area is different. Utah, the challenge with Utah is everybody has like 4 kids.
Uh-huh.
And so most people don't spend a lot of money on themselves. So I can they'll spend money on their kids like crazy, you know, visits. Are you sure we only need to see them once a week? Like when I went to therapy before, they wanted to see me 3 times a week. I'm like, if you want to, I'm not going to tell you no, but for themselves, it's a lot bigger. Can we do every other week or things like that? So yeah. Really getting them to buy in on the plan of care is super critical. Right. And so those are things that I'm still learning to really be a master of. I've learned that a lot of it's the questions that you ask. It's all about questions. You ask the right questions and you get them to mentally go down the right road. But yeah, still making that transition. It definitely took a few months on the cash pay side before I started consistently seeing cash pay patients on the physical therapy side of things. With the metabolic testing though, that's been awesome. And what I get with that a lot of the time though is this crossover where people are already used to paying cash for the metabolic stuff. And I get about 20%, that was last year. I think it's a little bit higher this year, but 20% of my metabolic patients wind up becoming orthopedic patients and vice versa. Actually, a little bit higher percentage of my orthopedic patients see my signs and see the stuff for the metabolic testing, and they wind up becoming my metabolic patients. So I wind up getting an extra, you know, $500 to $1,000 or more out of an already cash paying client. I have another service that I can then say, yeah, let's do that. And they'll sign up for that as well. Because so many people, weight loss or sports performance are two of their main goals, right? Mm-hmm. And so by having that to offer, I can really help that. And so that's been a great way to help transition me into the cash pay model.
Yeah.
Already establishing somebody as a cash pay patient and then say, oh, your weight loss isn't going well because your knee hurts. Let's get rid of that roadblock.
Right. So how does, so, and I've talked to you about this before, you know, when I used to race bikes back in the late 90s and early 2000s, you know, going to get metabolic testing was like $1,200 or you had to find a university study and it wasn't nearby. And to tell us about, so it sounds like it's a little bit less expensive than that these days.
Right.
You've got a little bit different equipment. And so how much does it cost? What does the equipment cost? And tell us a little bit about more, like how you're using that, you know, to help people reach their goals and what goals they're working on.
So honestly, the initial investment really wasn't too bad in terms of the equipment. The technology has improved so much that it's no longer like this $60,000 or $80,000 cart. Mm-hmm. The technology has improved as well that it self-calibrates. If you've done this before, like in college and stuff, you probably had like tubes and vials and syringes that you had to like calibrate the machine and get it to work. It calibrates in under 5 minutes on its own with every single test. So it's very, very accurate. The equipment that I use has been validated against the much, much more expensive, like 3-4 times more expensive equipment. I can only talk about my experience in terms of what the price was, but it was just under $12,000 for that initial investment, which is actually, for medical equipment, is actually pretty low.
Right. What does the ultrasound machine cost? Aren't those things like $20,000?
Yeah, seriously. Your left kidney or $20,000.
Right. Yeah.
So my initial investment when I first started out, just that one day a week and then Saturdays, I think I spent, and that was splurging on a couple of things like fancier chairs or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it was under $16,000 to get started.
Yeah.
Like that's an amount that if you kind of save up for a bit, that's pretty doable. And I was able one day a week and then like early morning. So like 1 to maybe 2 tests on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. I was making the payment on those plus a little bit to be able to advertise and stuff like that.
That's awesome. So what are people paying to, like, what are you charging or what are people paying to come and get tested, and how many tests are they getting? And is there something that's happening between or after the first test?
Yeah. So typically I charge $200 for that initial test. It takes about 90 minutes. So I'm honestly really low price compared to what other people are charging around the country or what I potentially could charge. On it for 90 minutes of my time, I should be charging a lot more than that. So my cash pay rates are higher than that, right? So a 30-minute visit is $75 and a hour visit is $135. And so I'm actually charging lower than my orthopedic cash pay rate, which is kind of dumb because it's a specialty thing that nobody else can get. But I found that that's a rate that people will buy a lot. But I discount that even sometimes where I give away as a promotional thing a free resting test. So honestly, that's an area that I'm looking to step up is actually charge more. But I typically charge about $200 per test for the combo resting test and exercise test. But that amount, that $200. So last year, which was a fairly slow year because I kind of hit the reset button, I did over 150 tests. So that equaled out about $30,000 in revenue.
Wow.
But what's hard to quantify is, you know, so 20% of those wound up becoming orthopedic patients.
Mm-hmm.
And that wound up getting me that much more money. But also from my orthopedic patients, I was able to convert those into cash pay metabolic patients. And so really that crossover is such a helpful thing. And so 20% of my revenue could be possibly attributed to the fact that I'm doing the metabolic testing and getting people in for that as well.
Right. You've got a double upsell, basically. Yeah, everybody needs the other thing, basically, you know, 20%.
Right. Yeah. So some people have massage therapy, like that's a big part of your practice is massage, and some people have personal trainers or other things like that. So I've actually just done that recently as well. I've brought in a massage therapist and a personal trainer so I can give away free treatments as part of their package when they sign on. And anyway, so that's been great too. But to have that as kind of my main cash upsell is really nice.
That's really awesome. And so how often are those people coming in? Like, 'cause I know sometimes people are coming in like one and done, or is it like you'd get two of these? Sometimes the massage is regular, but sometimes someone's doing a bike fit might do one bike fit.
So that's my goal, is to kind of help them buy into a package. Really, with weight loss especially, if they want to be successful, it's not just a one and done thing. They've got to have some follow-up, some accountability. So typically with my average client, I meet every 2 weeks and do every 2 weeks to once a month, depending on what their goals are and what their needs are. But every 2 weeks for a 30-minute check-in, and then every 6 to 8 weeks retesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's, I'll often sell packages between $600 to $800 is probably the most common lately. Last year, I would say it was more $350 to $500. So I've gotten a little bit better at selling that, right? That whole selling to help idea of helping people get out of their own way and make a decision for their health that allows them to make progress.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I've heard you beat that drum a lot, right?
Yeah, helping absolutely.
People get out of their own way. And the better I get at that, the more buy-in I get, actually. The more they're committed to doing it. It's not just me getting their money. It's them actually taking that plan to the end and seeing the results. So that's nice.
Right. But it's absolutely that the more people put down, the more involved they're going to be in the bigger.
Right. Yeah. So early on when I started working with FitStop in those high-priced gyms, I got that question a lot. Does insurance cover this? And so we experimented with it. What I found was 0% of the people that had insurance pay for it came back for their follow-up visits or came back. Because they didn't care. Somebody else was paying for it. They weren't really invested in it. It was this cool thing that I'll try, but I'm not investing anything in myself. And so who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they've tried a million other diets that they failed on. And so like, it just became one other thing. And so I was like, I don't want any part of that. I want it to be cash-based so that they have some skin in the game and have to really commit themselves. But I'll have people that'll do packages up to $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's a huge, when you think about marketing, if you get somebody where you spent, you know, $50, $60 in your marketing to get them in, and then they spend $1,200, yeah, you're liable for some visits that they have to come in. But I also all of a sudden just have this big lump sum of cash that I can put $200, $600 towards marketing and get, you know, 10 other people into that $50 to $60 rate. And so that's nice when you can get them to pay up front because you can put that right into marketing and generate. Oh,
absolutely. What's the best way you found to market this or your business in general?
Facebook videos, showing live shots of people doing the testing. If I can go live, that really helps. If I can get an organic post of somebody saying, hey, I went in and did this testing today. It was awesome. You're like, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
That usually nets me 2 to 3 patients.
Wow. Yeah. That's huge. And are you paying for those, boosting them?
Oh yeah. So I don't pay them for those. No, I've thought about offering like a discount if they agree to post it.
Well, like I mean, like, are you paying for the post? So like, are you paying to do Facebook advertising to the post or boost the post or anything? Or
I've done that a little bit. It's mostly straight organic. Oh, to get the 2 to 3. No, that's straight organic.
Wow.
Yeah, that's straight organic. It's their friends and relatives that are like, I need this.
Yeah.
Learn how to burn fat according to my body. I need that. right?
Yeah.
And so that's nice.
That's powerful. Are you doing, nutritional? Are you doing nutritional counseling with them, or is it you're working with a dietitian at the same time? How's that?
Yeah. So I have a few dietitians that I refer out to. I haven't done much on the nutritional side of things. Just not that I don't feel like I have the knowledge, but I'm pretty careful with, you know, those boundaries. You know, I don't like it when other people step on our profession's toes. Mm-hmm. So I try to be really careful stepping on the toes of other professionals. I know there's a ton of people out there that do, as physical therapists, do a lot of nutritional counseling. So I do more just lifestyle coaching of like, let's find out what's going to work for your lifestyle based on some healthy principles. But I don't give meal plans or kind of eat this, not that type things, even though that's requested a lot and is probably somewhere where I could make a lot of money if I did that. And something that I'm looking into, maybe getting some more certification or something so that I can make that claim. But honestly, I feel like I could do it right now with the current knowledge that I possess, but I feel a little bad stepping on other people's toes.
Right. Are you, so you said you've hired like a trainer, massage therapist, you have other employees, and would you consider having like an in-house dietitian to do this kind of?
Yeah. So they're actually not employees. We've kind of got a cool barter system where they just come in and use my space and I trade what they would pay me for sending my people to them for free.
Oh, wow.
And so we're just kind of on this like barter system. And that way we don't have to exchange hands. There's no 1099s going back and forth and stuff like that. And so I just give them like free access to my space a couple of days a week or a couple of nights in the evening when I'm gone for like the group fitness class that the personal trainer does or things like that. And in exchange for that, I get to send people to that for free as a bonus. And so I don't have to pay them back or like discount what they should pay me. We just call it good. So I'm probably losing out on some money I could make there, but at the same time, they're bringing people into my space. I get to meet them and say hi and tell them about the metabolic testing for free. So they're bringing free leads essentially.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So you started with employees and now do you have any, or is it just you?
Not right now. So I have some great interns, but I don't have any paid employees right now. That's kind of my next leap. That's the next step I want to take is hire a front desk person. Mm-hmm. I feel like that will really help me take the next step.
Yeah. Oh, it's been one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Yeah. I've got the intern that's pointing at herself in the background. Like, I want to be that person. So. Right.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So how is this whole thing? Like, so how does metabolic change? It's a mouthful. Metabolic testing change the way you treat a patient? So you've learned it in school, but are you changing like your treatment, your practice patterns, or is it adding to it? How's that work?
Absolutely. It's totally changed my practice pattern. So many people, like kind of that back office chatter, right? You go finish treating your patient and you go back and you talk with another therapist and you're like, dude, like I can help this guy get relief in his pain today, but truthfully, he just needs to lose weight, mm-hmm. right? How many times have we said that, like, or thought that, like, really, the main problem here is this guy just needs to lose weight and his knees would be fine or his back would be fine or whatever. His sleep problems would go away. I have an answer for that now.
Right.
So many times we don't bring that up with our patients. We don't address weight loss because we don't know what to do with them. We don't know how is a great, like, evidence-based way to help them. And this gives me that answer. So I can talk, and I'm really bold about talking about that with patients. Like, truth be told, the main thing that causes knee pain is extra force in the joint. And what causes that is increased body weight. And so the main thing that you could do for your knee health long-term is decrease your body weight, decrease the amount of force that you're putting through that knee, and it'll like you for that. And your arthritis will slow in progression. You know, we can solve a lot of these problems. And so having that answer makes it so that I'm not just this jerk that pointed out that they were fat.
Right.
It gives me a way to be like, let me help you resolve that problem. This is a roadblock to you meeting your goal. We, you know, that first visit, we established what your goals are. And this is one of the main roadblocks of you really being able to achieve that. Let's remove that roadblock. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah. That's
great.
Yeah, that's awesome. So learn this just from, you know, a clinical rotation somewhere, or what did you do to learn all of this?
Yeah, so the practice that I purchased was actually the clinical rotation where I learned it. So it was with Julie Knighton. So she actually had spent time down at the Cooper Clinic down in Texas and became really a kind of a health and fitness expert. Her specialties were in spine care, golf. That's what she really loved to do. And then the weight loss. And so those were kind of her niches. She actually did a lot of cash pay through her golf connections. And so in working with her, I learned a little bit about that, the self-pay stuff, as well as how to do the metabolic testing and the benefit that that could have in patients. And so that's when I was tasked to help build that wellness program at the U. I was just like, people need to have this metabolic testing stuff. And I wanted to do it for years. And that's when I really was just finally pushed over the edge of like, I got to do this. Like, this truly is my passion. As much as I love working with stroke folks, I feel like I'm on the wrong end of rehab here. I need to be rehabbing people rather than rehabbing people. I got to prevent this from happening. So many of my people that I worked with in outpatient too aren't the like 380 pounds, knew the stroke was kind of coming. A lot of what you get in outpatient is the guy that like had no idea he was unhealthy on the inside. Mm-hmm. Right? He's a little bit overweight maybe, or sometimes normal body weight, and was just really unhealthy because of diet and exercise choices, but genetically stayed relatively thin.
Right.
And so then they have this massive stroke and wind up seeing me, and I'm like, we could prevent all of that by helping people be more active, be less intimidated by their workout because they know what to do for mm-hmm. their body. Man. And we can influence a lot of people's health and lives. And that's so great. That's when I was like, I got to do this.
That's awesome, man. So now that Julie's retired, if someone wants to figure out how to do the testing, what do they do? Like, where do they go?
So that I'm all over Facebook. I just did a TV spot the other day. So I'm trying to get my name out there, trying to be as omnipresent as possible. But bodysmartutah.com is where I'm at. And I've got a for clinicians site there mm-hmm. as well. So if you're a patient wanting to find it, that's where you find it. If you're a clinician, that's where you can go and find some information there. And under that for clinicians, I talk about how I train other people to do the metabolic testing. That's one of the biggest questions that people have is like, so I remember doing this like a little bit in undergrad. We kind of went over it as a group in PT school, but like I wouldn't have the foggiest on how to get started doing metabolic testing. So that's something where I've created some courses as well as some one-on-one stuff that we can do to help people get refreshed as well as even certify in doing this. So that's something I'm developing. I'm almost done with that course and how to become Body Smart Certified Clinic or a Body Smart Certified Clinician. But that's something you could take and bring to your boss or most likely just open up your own thing.
Right.
Do your own
thing. Awesome.
Very yeah.
Cool. So wrapping up, what was your like biggest win in growing your business? Like, what's the thing that you've done that you're most proud of? You were like, oh, when I did this, it was like it changed, you know, how I, you know, like my business or my life or whatever. Like, what's that big thing that you like, you know?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think probably the biggest win is when I realized that my time was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Charging more. And I still need to do that more. I still need to be more bold about that. But then my time was worth it. When I went from charging 75 to 100, you know, that kind of range of charging 100, but discounting it down for everyone to 75 that I knew or like friends, neighbors, and really bumping that up, that was a big win. And seeing that people like pay it, that they don't question it. Because if you get the right patient in, and you've done a good job at helping them see how you can help them, then they don't even question it. And so that has been a big win. And I plan actually on bumping my prices up as well. Probably within this next month, I'm going to do some more revisions to my website. I'm going to bump that up to about 150. And then my metabolic test, we'll see. I honestly could probably charge more like 450 and would probably get the same people that I'm getting.
Yeah, probably.
I need to do it. Yeah. It just scares the crap out of me.
I know. It does for everyone. But, and every time I've raised my rates, I'm like, oh my God, people are going to like disappear and they keep coming back for more.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much of that, and I'm learning more and more about that so much of that is the backend systems, the emails and the things that you do to help them realize that they've either made the right choice or that they are about to make the right choice.
Right.
The more you can get those back-end systems, that's the thing that I think I wish I had done earlier on, was develop my email systems sooner. So, because I've been through periods where I got a ton of leads and then I lose a lot of them because I don't have those systems in place. So there's another word of caution.
That's awesome.
Get those in place so you don't lose leads. Because I've done single campaigns where I've gotten like 23 leads. It's like, awesome. And I got like 8 or 9 of them in the clinic. Awesome. Wow. But the rest of them, like, I lost those people because I didn't have sufficient background systems. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. That's one thing that I've been talking about for a while too. And I also didn't have my systems in place when I first started. I didn't spend the time getting them up because I was like, I didn't think I was just going to work. Everyone tells me it's a bad idea. So why am I going to put in all that effort?
But
it's the number one thing that I would go back to do.
Yeah, no, it's the lowest hanging fruit. When you really dive into it, it's like, these are people that have already spent money with me or at least already raised their hand and say, hey, I want to learn more about this.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you keep going to new, fresh people? Right? It makes way too much sense. So that's what I've been working on a lot lately to build my business, is building up those background systems a little
bit. That's really awesome. That's awesome. Well, thank you, Cameron, for joining us today. You dropped some big knowledge and I really appreciate you spending time here.
Sure.
Where can someone find you? Just tell us your website again and where do we find you on social media?
Yeah. So social media, Body Smart, either Body Smart Utah or Body Smart PT Utah on pretty much all of the social media. So Facebook, Instagram, everything. Also my website, bodysmartutah.com. Again, there's that for clinicians, but also I've got something cool coming up. I've got a webinar coming up in a couple of weeks. So October 24th, and where you can sign up for that is at info.kor.com. So core, info.kor.com/VO2.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah,
I'll put all those links on the show notes.
Right. That's a totally free webinar. Really, it's just getting the word out there for Core, the company that manufactures the equipment. They're the ones sponsoring it. Getting the word out there that PTs are doing this and that they can do this. And so totally free webinar. Nothing will be sold through it or after it. It's just out there to spread the word that, hey, this is a thing. If you come to CSM, stop by my booth. I'm there every year. Core pays for me to fly out there. They're really good to me. But they pay for me to fly out there every year and participate at CSM. So come stop by the booth if you want to learn more about it too.
That's awesome. Great. Yeah, last year you were doing some metabolic testing on the floor.
All over the place. It was kind of fun. I went to like every other piece of equipment that they like had exercise equipment. I did in an underwater tank and all kinds of stuff. It was pretty fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Cameron, for being here. And
it's been a pleasure.
This is the Cash PT Lunch Hour. My name is Aaron LeBauer with LeBauer Consulting, and we'll see you guys on the next show. Thanks.
Thanks, Aaron.
Hey, thanks again for spending your time with me today. If you're a new listener, then thank you for checking out the show. And don't forget, you can find all the resources and links mentioned, as well as show notes, over at aaronlebauer.com. If you found this podcast and information valuable to you, I would greatly appreciate a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and a shout out on social media wherever you hang out. Have a great day.